CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Tom Nuttall. He is the Berlin correspondent for The Economist magazine. And there is a new government in Germany. The election was some weeks ago. But the German tradition is to blend together major parties who have not individually won majorities, but collectively form a majority in the Bundestag. In this instance, it is a blend of parties that are surprisingly working well together, if to be seen by the photographs and the remarks of the first days. First, importantly, is the new chancellor of all Germany. Angela Merkel steps aside to applause and wonder in her 16 years, and she's replaced by her former finance minister. His name is Olaf Scholz, a man who does not look normally witty, but made a good remark at his opening of forming his government. He and his collection were known as the traffic light because they put together so many different parties that had different colors similar to green, red, and yellow. The traffic light coalition. And his joke was, well, traffic lights when they were introduced in 1920 were disruptive in Berlin, but we got used to them and now we depend upon them. Tom, a very good day to you. Olaf Scholz, is this a man for one-liners? It certainly didn't look to be his reputation heretofore. Good evening to you, Tom.
Hi, nice to speak to you. Hello from Berlin. No, I think it's fair to say that Olaf Scholz does not exactly have a reputation as a shining wit of German politics or anything else. This was his attempt really to speak to Germans who might wonder about the compatibility of these three parties that will be putting together this traffic light coalition. They're three parties that have not governed together before, at national level anyway. They're three parties that disagree on lots of things, campaigned against each other during the election, and at points had quite difficult negotiations when they were putting together their government agreement, which is the way that things work in Germany. You put together a sort of a blueprint for government before you actually take office. Nevertheless, says Mr. Scholz, so do some other people, they have been able to put together a meaningful agreement that should serve to deal with a lot of the challenges that Germany is facing after 16 years of Angela Merkel in office. So that remains to be seen. You know, we'll talk about some of them, but there's a lot that this government is going to have to do. And when it does take office next week, it's going to immediately confront a crisis, especially in the form of the coronavirus, which is now raging again in Germany, a fourth wave, record numbers of cases, overloaded hospitals. So there's not going to be any honeymoon for this government at all. It's going to have a lot on its intray.
The significant post to me is finance minister, because Olaf Scholz was the finance minister for Angela Merkel for many years. It's gone to a man who is strikingly similar to a player, say, in the city in London or, say, in Wall Street. His name is Christian Lindner, and he has made statements again and again that he will be very keen not to overspend, that is, to deficit spend, and not to raise taxes. Is that a promise or a campaign strategy that he can hold to, given the fact that he's now a member of Olaf Scholz's government? After all, Olaf Scholz does have a reputation of being a socialist.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the questions for this government. I mean, Christian Lindner is the leader of a small pro-business tax-cutting party called the Free Democrats. And in a sense, they are the odd one out in this three-party coalition. The other two parties are the Social Democrats, led by Olaf Scholz, and the Green Party. And they both sit on the left of the political spectrum, but the center-left. The Free Democrats are a little bit different. Their traditional governing party is the Christian Democrats, Angela Merkel's party, who are now heading into opposition for the first time in 16 years. But Christian, in a way, his price for joining this traffic light coalition, in which, as I say, his party is the odd one out, was the post of finance minister, probably the second most important job in German politics after the chancellor. You have control over the budget, over taxation and spending. You can say no to the plans that are presented by other government ministries. It's a very powerful position. Olaf Scholz was a powerful finance minister. So was his predecessor, Wolfgang Schäuble. So this is going to be one of the interesting things to watch in this next government. To what extent will some of the spending aspirations of the Social Democrats and the Greens run up against what you might call the fiscal hawkishness, the tough line that Christian Lindner will want to walk as finance minister. And just an afterthought on that, it's not only about domestic politics. The finance minister role in Germany is absolutely crucial for European policy and Eurozone policy. Every German finance minister has been an absolute key player in European discussions on fiscal policy and what's going to happen in the Eurozone, on bailouts. And Christian Lindner will probably be no exception to that, which is why it's not only Germans who are very interested in his appointment, but the rest of the European Union.
And I come to Christian Lindner's job immediately with the headlines in Europe right now. Record Eurozone inflation of 4.9% puts pressure on the European Central Bank. Anxiety grows. Good heavens, does Mr. Lindner make remarks now, separate from Mr. Schulz, about what is to be done with this inflation? It's not just here in the U.S., it's across the Eurozone.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, Germans are always very, very worried about inflation, even when it's low. Now it's not low. It's over five. It's running at over 5% in Germany. And people are very worried about, you know, what they consider to be the expropriation of their savings. Germany is not an asset-rich society. Lots of money in saving banks and so on. And Christian Lindner and the Free Democrats have traditionally been very critical of what has been a fairly loose monetary policy from the European Central Bank in recent years. And you did hear elements of that on the campaign trail. I think inside government, he's going to be a little bit more muted on this. I mean, you have to remember, of course, that the European Central Bank, not only is it an independent central bank, it does not take instructions from politicians in Germany or anywhere else, but it also conducts monetary policy for the entire Eurozone, not just for Germany. And different parts of the Eurozone have different economic needs. So, and one of the things I've been quite struck by, actually, is that although we do have inflation running very high in Germany now, we know the explanations for this, supply chain shortages and so on, the debate has not been quite as hysterical as you might have expected it to be. Yes, there has been criticism of the ECB. There has been criticism of its president, Christine Lagarde, and there have been calls on the government, this incoming government, to do something. I'm not sure what that would be. But it does seem to be taking place, this debate, within the relatively normal constraints of debate on what monetary policy should be. We haven't seen the hysteria that we have in years gone by about what the ECB is doing. So I'm a little bit more optimistic that the next government is going to be able to manage this this issue in a slightly saner fashion than some of us might previously have feared.
Annalena Baerbock, who campaigned as the Green leader, the leader of the Green parties, now becomes the first foreign minister, female foreign minister, the first Green foreign minister, I believe. What is a Green foreign ministry? Is this climate change, climate change, climate change?
Well, the first thing, John, is that she's actually not the first Green foreign minister in history. Joschka Fischer served as he was a very important foreign minister in the late 90s because he convinced his party to back the NATO intervention in Kosovo, a crucial figure in German history. But she is, as you say, the first female foreign minister, and she will be an interesting figure to watch. She's very interested in foreign affairs. She has a fair amount of experience in it. Climate, yes, absolutely will be central to the foreign policy of this German government. It would have been whoever was in that role. Climate change is at the center of German politics now. It's not just an issue for the Green Party. But for me, one of the big issues for Annalena Baerbock as foreign minister will be to what extent will Olaf Scholz as chancellor be prepared to let her and the foreign ministry regain some of the power and some of the authority that ministry lost under Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel, particularly in her later years as chancellor, increasingly concentrated foreign policy decision-making inside the chancellery. And the foreign ministry became a little bit of a backwater in German decision-making, not helped by the fact that we had a succession of not especially impressive foreign ministers. Now, to me, it's an open question as to whether Olaf Scholz will let Annalena Baerbock have more free rein as foreign minister than her predecessors. He's given every indication previously that his priorities are going to be on domestic policy, on managing Germany's energy transition, on increasing the minimum wage, these sorts of things, rather than on foreign policy decision making. But of course, it's Olaf Scholz who will be in the room with Joe Biden, with Vladimir Putin, with Xi Jinping, and so on. Every German chancellor is a crucial figure when it comes to foreign policy decision making. So it's going to be an interesting question just how much room Annalena Baerbock as foreign minister will have.
Tom, in just a few seconds, Olaf Scholz makes a very pleasant entry into the world scene with his photographs of his team together. Is that well received in Germany as well? We just have 15 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, people always appreciate stability and a smooth transition of power in Germany. And we've had every indication of that, both with these parties and in the transition from Merkel to Scholz.
I thank Tom Nuttall. He is the German correspondent, the Berlin correspondent for The Economist magazine. The new government in Germany, greeted by the virus and inflation. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.